Welcome to the podcast!
Yeah, it's Beck and Jazeel here, and this is some of the best bits of our show in the last 24 hours. It'll make your wildest dreams come true.
Well, it's definitely some bits of the show from the last 24 hours, but we really hope you enjoy it.
Each month, we have the pleasure of having a clinical psychologist and managing director of Janice Domicer Consulting in the building. But before we start, remember the information spoken today. It is for information purposes only and is not prescribed treatment. If you require further assistance, please contact your local GP or Lifeline on 13 11 14. Janice!
Welcome, Janice!
Oh, hello, hello. It's so good to be back here again.
Thank you for coming.
Has it been 2 years?
2 years, I think.
Wow. Yeah, maybe even three. I don't know.
I know. And something's changed with you, Jazeel.
I look older,
you just
don't
look
I?
Like, yeah, well, no, I wasn't going to say that.
More grey hair, bags under the eyes.
Oh, that's it's just right. Got the newborn baby
the dad look life. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, it's good, I think. No, it is good.
Oh,
it's
Janice,
good.
Lovely to meet you. I've
so
heard so much
you
about
back.
You. Yes. And I think what we're talking about today is really important at the moment, because yes, a lot of people are going to be dealing with this.
That's right.
So the topic you've chosen today is coping with anxiety in a pandemic. Now, you're dealing with people every single day. In fact, you know, I'm guessing you rushed off your feet today.
Yes, I was.
Yeah. Have you noticed an increase in anxiety around the pandemic?
Yes, 100%. I think all psychologists, doctors, specialists would say the same. People are reporting that they're finding it difficult to even get appointments and things like that. So it has increased dramatically.
Wow.
So how would someone know if they actually need help with anxiety? What are those signs we're looking for?
I'd say know yourself. So you've got a baseline, right? And you know what triggers you. And if you're finding that you are triggered a lot easier, mm-hmm, so where normally you'd be able to cope with a bit of, you know, waiting in the traffic, and so on, now suddenly you're short tempered and smaller things are triggering you, that's a sign.
Yeah.
And also listen to your family, mm-hmm, and the people that are close to you, right? If they're starting to say, hold on, like, what's going on? You're a lot more, then often we're defensive and we say, what do you mean? I'm still the same. Just like, you know.
Brush it off.
But listen. Let your critics be your coaches.
Yeah.
You know, take it and go, okay, let me look at this and do something about it.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those triggers? Like, not only for the person to go, ooh, am I getting triggered? But also family members to see it in other people. What are the common triggers when it comes to anxiety?
Well, I think anxiety at its base is about a sense of when things are not predictable, mm-hmm, anymore. So we feel a sense of safety when it's predictable, right? Because you've got the brain stem, which is in the base of the neck. That is the primal center that says, you know, I'm either safe or I'm not.
Right.
Now, that part of the brain doesn't have verbal or thinking. It literally has one switch, and it's on or off. So when there's a trigger would be when almost that part of the brain has gone to off. And
right,
so it's generally around things that have become unpredictable.
Right, okay.
And which the pandemic is a hotbed for that, right? So suddenly we don't know what's going to happen next week. Also, we don't know if our job is secure. We're not sure about what is it going to look like. So in those deeper senses of the brain, literally, it's saying, you know, I'm not safe.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kinds of things.
And it just switches off. So obviously we need to figure out, how do we switch that back on? Now, do remember the information spoken today, it is for information purposes only. It is not prescribed treatment. If you require further assistance, please contact your local GP or Lifeline, 13 11 14.
Now, Janice, we've been talking about coping with anxiety in the pandemic, how that may look like, but what do we do if we've identified, yes, we're feeling really anxious at the moment? How can we turn that switch back on?
Great. So there's a lot of things you can do on your own or with your family or with your bigger community. And so try those first, because we are made, us as humans, we are made to be together. It's there's a co-regulation that happens, and there's things called mirror neurons. And so let's use that first, right? So there's, you know, grounding techniques, which is that it's a fancy word for really just going, you know, walk in the garden, get grounded.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Just go and keeping exercise going, you know, about 30 minutes every day is a good idea. And then eating, you know, we underestimate keeping the rhythm of eating going, because often when we're stressed, mm-hmm. you know, well, two things happen. You either stop eating or you go for the donuts and the quick carbs, right?
Why do we do that when we're feeling stressed? Like for those who prefer like to have junk food.
Yes.
Or rather not eat. What's going on there?
Well, the brain is seeking glucose, mm-hmm. right? So glucose is the quickest and the brain uses glucose to think and to function. So, you know, the brain is so phenomenal that it's got enough electricity to keep a light bulb going.
That's cool.
Right? On its own, right? Just the brain, right?
Crazy.
So it needs food. It needs glucose. So if you're super stressed, it's going, okay, what's the quickest? And you'll grab for that. So if you can do the thing of where you're, you know, speak to a nutritionist because they're pretty good at it, but you're looking at carbs, protein, carbs and fats with every meal.
Yeah.
Right.
That kind of a thing, just to make sure that your blood pressure doesn't drop and then you have those glucose spikes, which can cause anxiety and they can cause you to feel tired.
Right. So you mentioned the family one, like, I forget the word that you used, but you said get around your family and there was that word you
mirror used. Neurons?
Yes, that one.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to try and
go.
Say it again. So what's happening with that? What is that?
Right. So it's a function of the brain that if you are seeing somebody struggling with something, or in fact, if you see somebody eating a peanut, right? So there was this experiment done, right? The monkey ate the peanut and it lit up a certain place in the brain. And then they recorded where was that place in the brain when he experienced eating the peanut, right? And then when the researcher ate the peanut later, then the monkey's brain lit up in exactly the same place again,
even though
the monkey wasn't eating the peanut, right? So the monkey remembered, ooh, you know, that researcher's eating a peanut. Ah, I remember what that tastes like, right? Mm. So that's where it's such a lovely superpower for us as humans because we can help to regulate, you know, people that are around us. So our family members and our children especially, is that if we are, regulated in our nervous system and our mind is we've been able to settle ourselves down, then that almost like as in a wireless, like laptop to laptop, wireless, we give that vibe to our
That's
family
crazy.
Members.
That worries me somewhat when I'm stressed. I'm like, no, my kids are going to pick up on it. I can be like, I'm cool, guys, whatever. But I'm like, they know.
That's it. Well, there's a sneaky little trick with that one. There's a three-step process that you can do. So the first thing, if they're struggling, you go, you need to first regulate, then relate, then reason.
Yeah.
Right. So you regulate, you're trying to get them, you know, a sense of calm, then you're relating to them, like, hey, this is tough, buddy, et cetera, et cetera. Then you reason.
Yeah.
We often jump to reason first.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we've messed it up, right?
That's awesome. Now, just quickly wrapping up, what would you say to someone that is struggling with anxiety, specifically maybe around the pandemic? What would you say to encourage them?
Right. So I was, this morning I was thinking about that John Glenn, who was that American astronaut who flew over Perth in 1962. And so all the Perthites, you know, got their lights switched on, and some of them apparently even you went outside and they were waving their torches up into the sky.
So 40 years ago.
There we go. Exactly. It's 50 years, actually.
Oh, 50, sorry.
The 20th of February this year was 50 years of that. Mm. And that's where we get our name, Perth being the city of lights. Right. So the encouragement that I would want to give is that we have the choice to be selectively focusing on light, right? So this is not like, oh, just, you know, be positive, think positive. It's more there is an active choice that happens. You can push the brain's energy into either light or dark, negative, right? So it's the whole concept of if in the brain you imagine it like there's a white wolf and a black wolf, you go, which one survives? Well, it's the one you feed.
Yeah.
Right. So that's my, you know, encouragement is feed the white wolf,
wolf.
Right?
Yeah.
And support each other. There's this, you know, sense of unity. Like I love, everybody went outside, turns their lights on, you know, torches to the sky so that James Glenn could see it from from up above, you know, that kind of unity. Let's do that.
Oh, yeah. I love it. That's lovely awesome. To meet you, Janice. Thank you so much for coming in and having a chat to us today.
Thank you so much.
Whew, what a hoot that was.
That was. Oh, I'm tired just from listening to it.
Oh, I'm energized.
Yeah. Hey, if you want more from The Drive Show, just visit 98.5.com. And don't forget, you can tune in live anytime for more of this great banter.